Yo, yo, yo! It's Nikki K. I'm your host, and this is the very first episode of The Clippers Beat, your newest podcast brought to you by the CLNS Media Network. And guess what? We're talking all things Clippers. Yes, 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 I know. We're a little late to the game in the midst of this NBA season, 50 games in now, but I mean, let's be honest. This is when things get good. This is when things get juicy. We are right before the trade deadline. And then after that, like, every game counts in the wild, wild west. Yes. So better late than never in terms of starting the pod. Really excited to be with you guys for the remainder of the NBA season. Hopefully a little postseason push for the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm stoked because I think this franchise is trying to accomplish things and set themselves up for a big time free agent. Once again, this podcast will drop every Monday morning, so you'll have it throughout the week. You can interact with me on social media throughout the week, and then we can get going with Twitter questions as we gain some momentum. I'm solo for this episode. Hopefully I can get some guests on here in here. Just really, really pumped to join CLNS and talk all things Clips. So we're talking about every game counting in this Western Conference. And speaking of which, the Clippers played a game on Sunday. I'm recording this Sunday night. The Clippers played a matinee contest against the Sacramento Kings, their third time already facing the Kings this season. The Clips have already won the prior two meetings. In fact, their win streak coming into this game against the Kings franchise has been 7 in a row, and they did it again. Made it number 8 in a row against the Kangs. Well, not so much the Kangs anymore. The Kings are kind of a young, fun, upstart, fast-paced, tempo team led by, like, De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. So the Clippers got the W, though, and they came out hot, shooting over 50% from the field in the first half, 67 points through two quarters. They get the job, they get done, they get the W, final score 122-108, and that puts the Clippers at a record of 28-22 on the season, and they are sitting at 8th in the West. And guess who they're above? They're right above the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers at number 9 are a little bit far back and kind of treading water while they've got all these injuries going on. Lakers record right now is 25-24, and they're playing the Suns as I speak. So any win that the Clippers can capitalize on while the Lakers are hampered, fantastic. So good win for the Clips, because these early games in the afternoon, it's so easy to come in slow and sluggish. I mean, LA also just had a 4-game road trip. They went 3-1 on the road trip, which was actually pretty great. They got a narrow win most recently against the Memphis Grizzlies. So it'd be really easy to kind of stumble into Staples Center early in the afternoon, sleepy, groggy. But they came out hot. Their defense was on point. They did great, led by as many as 25. The danger was, though, we knew this, going into the locker room at half, the Kings are a team that kind of have this fun grit about them, in the sense that no matter how much they're down by, especially in today's NBA, you could be, you know, being down by 20, that never truly puts you out of the game. So you could never count out the Kings, and because they believe they can make a comeback, and before you know it, the way they play so fast-paced and up-tempo, they can and they will get you. And last time these two teams played, the Kings came back and made it a 3-point game in the fourth quarter, and it kind of looked like that might be happening again in the third quarter. They chipped away and got the lead to, or got their deficit to within like 7, but in the end, the Clippers prevail. And what was impressive, they were out without Danilo Gallinari. He was out with back spasms yet again. And, I mean, man, you just got to applaud the play of Patrick Beverley over this past stretch. He's really stepped up. His line tonight, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 made threes. He's been feeling it. And that's great because that's what this team needs as a leader. When not everybody has it, you need someone to help facilitate and get the ball in as many guys' hands as possible. And I think that was kind of the theme of today's performance. The team just harped over and over again, 35 assists on 42 made field goals. That's the type of ball movement you want to see. I mean, as PBev said after the game, that's just like everybody eats. It's a game where everybody eats, everybody contributes, and that's part of the thing that can make the Clippers successful in the Western Conference, where, you know, they don't really have those two big all-star names that other teams tout. So without those guys, you got to hit your opponents from as many angles in as many ways as you can. And the Clippers operate the best when the ball is moving and they're playing downhill. And that was the recipe we saw tonight. Montrezl Harrell, 25 points from him. Great performance. It's really going to be interesting, too, to see what the Clippers front office does in terms of finding another center as the trade deadline approaches. That, to me, would be the position to target. No inside knowledge here, but it seems like their front court depth is a little bit slight right now. We love Boban. Motley can contribute, but perhaps another more solidified big man is where the Clippers could use a little bit of help if they're going to look to make a playoff push. Lou Will, 12 points, 10 assists. Man, he just always finds a way to impact the game. Constantly impressed by him. Tobias Harris, you know, just came in. He came into tonight or to today, averaging 21 points a game. And operated once more as a team leader with 18 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists, 2 for 8 from 3. I do think we're going to touch a little bit about his all-star campaign and what that looks like in a little bit on this podcast. But I still want to also give shouts to rookie Shea. Putting up 17, 5, and 4. He's had a tough January. I mean, let's just talk his last 10 games. He's shot just over 35% from the field, averaging 8 points a game. His minutes have kind of fluctuated. Doc, you know, hasn't... That's the way Doc operates. Like, he doesn't... Guys' minutes aren't set. He is quick to kind of try and switch things up and limit guys' minutes depending on their play. And Shea made his mark tonight, 31 points and – or 31 minutes, rather, sorry. And after the game, Doc talked about, like, for Shea right now, like, this is part of the journey of figuring out what it means to be an NBA player and the difficulty of it all. I mean, 50 games, that's more about 12 more than you play in the college season, 10 more. So now he's playing past what he's used to, and he's playing against bigger talent than he's used to. So it's about playing harder night in, night out, and giving it your all every time you step on the floor. So for him to put up 17 points tonight, Great to see him doing well after what's been kind of a tough past couple of games for him. So yeah, great team effort against Sacramento. And what you want to see is, even without Gallo in the lineup, the Clippers able to pull out those wins against teams they can and they should. And it's all going to matter. It's all going to matter if they're going to stay on the fringe of this playoff race and eventually try and make it into the playoffs. So great stuff, especially in what could have been a trap game. Early game, the Kings could have been very easy to sleepwalk into that. Another topic of discussion after these past couple of games has been the All-Star voting process, which, I mean, so we know the captains. TNT has announced the NBA All-Star game starters. And now we're waiting for the reserves to be unveiled. And that will be 7 players from each conference. The NBA head coaches vote, and that's going to be announced this Thursday. So next podcast, we'll talk about whether Tobias made it or was slighted. Doc believes that Harris has a role in the All-Star game or has a place in the All-Star game. And his, you know, his points were talking about being the team's leading contributor and where they are in the West. They're in the playoff race right now, so he deserves to be in that conversation. So very interesting to see what other coaches around the league think. I do think that the Clippers are overlooked because they don't have, like I've already talked about, they don't have those all-stars. Like this would be Tobias's first all-star appearance in his 8-year career as an NBA player. So I would love to see him represent the Clippers. I think it's deserved. And I think, yes, especially considering how this team has performed and tread water in a conference that's loaded with so much talent. I think it's great. And you could argue the Clippers have overachieved early in the season, but they're still in the running, number 8. So I should have given you a little outline at the top of the pod, but you know, I'm excited to be chatting. It's also new territory. I will love your feedback, but what I should have mentioned is that, you know, I'm talking about the game on Sunday, looking ahead throughout this week. We've got Atlanta, by the time you're listening to this, Monday, Atlanta tonight. The schedule for the next 2 weeks heading into the All-Star break is interesting. It's Atlanta and the Lakers at home this week. Then the Clippers hit the road for a road trip. And it's a nasty road trip. Like there's a couple games you could win. There's some tough opponents, but it's more so nasty in terms of the locations and the weather that I think the Clippers are going to be encountering, right? Like Southern California has been stellar lately. Like today was like 70 degrees, gorgeous, you know, your typical SoCal January afternoon. But the road trip before All-Star break, Detroit, Toronto, Charlotte, Indiana, Boston, Minnesota, and then back home against Phoenix before All-Star. So, yikes. So, when I talk about tonight's or this contest with the Hawks, the Lakers, who are rife with injuries, like these are winnable games. And to be able to accomplish those in the confines of the Staples Center, get those W's where you can. You look at the Hawks, and it's interesting because the Clippers took their last, I mean, they've already faced off once earlier this season back in November, and the Clippers beat the Hawks, final score 127-119. But what I love about this matchup is you've got Trae Young, and you've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Young, the number 5 pick by the Hawks. Shai going 11th to the Clippers. And with them being playing in the same position, it's, I mean, the Hawks have kind of faced a lot of speculation. I mean, this isn't anything new about about Trey, and is he going to make it or is he going to be a maker or miss in this league? And I covered Trey when he was at OU, and he's very aware of what's being said, and he's had to learn how to face that reality and handle it as an NBA professional. And that's why the relevant thing about that is that he's no doubt been privy to the Shea comparisons, and that's what makes these young rookie contests when you so interesting and appealing to me. Last time they faced off, Trey balled out, 25 points, 17 assists, and he's been a solid contributor for Atlanta. And I mean, the plight of the rookies, like Shea has obviously struggled. It's been a roller coaster with a little bit more of a dip over the past 10 games. But maybe this recent game against the Kings is going to kind of be the spark that ignites his bounce back, so to speak. That's what I'm hoping, at least. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's just finding your groove again, you know? Then getting your mojo back. So I'm intrigued to see how the two fare in this upcoming contest. And if I had to guess, I would say the Clippers win, but you know, also second night of a back-to-back, and it could be a sleeper. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I enjoy watching Trey play. I love the way he passes the ball, and I love how Shea plays. So I think that the Hawks shouldn't be taken as a easy W, but they can very much be a win for the Clippers. And then the Lakers on Thursday. I don't know what the status is of LeBron. I think the last thing I heard was like 10 days out. So I would count him out for, I think he's not expected to come back. But the Lakers are without Lonzo. They've got Rondo back. It's piecing things together for that franchise right now. Speaking of treading water, they're trying to tread water while they've got, you know, all these injuries just kind of causing their lineups to have a little bit of chaos in the mix. So if the Clips can take advantage of that, get the job done, get another win, great. I don't see any reason they shouldn't be able to beat the Lakers. But those hometown rivalry games are always up in the air. You never know. Yes. So a little bit about me. For those of you who aren't familiar, I'm a sportscaster here in LA. I have covered the Thunder. I've covered the Lakers for a little bit, and I'm very familiar with the Western Conference. I have become very intrigued by what the Clippers front office is aligning itself for. And that's why I want to start delving into what this team can be and what it looks like ahead of free agency and, conveniently enough, right now, ahead of the trade deadline. I want to start a Twitter mailbag, so send me your questions. My Twitter handle is @NikkiKTV. You can follow me on Instagram, interact with me there as well. My Instagram handle, lil.nikki.k. We'll start to evolve some segments, hopefully get some guests on the pod. I'm very, very, very stoked to be here. And so next Monday when I check back in with you, we'll have all the good things to discuss as the Clippers embark on a lengthy road trip and all-star stuff. Ooh, it's going to be fun. You can follow me. Send me your TQs, and most importantly, you can find this podcast wherever you get your pods at or at CLNS Com. That's going to wrap it up for this very first episode. A little bit shorter today, but I promise it'll get some legs, get rolling, and we're just going to have a grand old time here on the Clippers beat. And yeah, that's it for now. You go and have yourself a great day, a great week, and I'll check back in with you on Monday.